Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Gene Johnson. AfterBuzz
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show.
Hey! Happy New Year, AfterBuzz and Arrow fans. We are back with Arrow's mid-season return. We are so excited to be here. I'm Kaori Take, and let's go around.
I'm Kelly.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alicona Bradford.
Hey, guys. I'm Annika Michelle.
And we have a special guest today over on the couch joining us tonight.
Nice.
Tell everyone your name.
I'm Ann Campia.
Yay. Oh, say it again. I don't think we can hear you.
Oh, hi. I'm Ann Campia.
There
nice
we go.
See everybody.
Much better sound. So today's episode was pretty cool. It's a slow return, but...
Hey, you know what? They opened with a nice body shot. I'm okay with that.
A nice
good
slow...
Good way to start the year, right, ladies?
That was. I was like, that must be hard to do, but it looks fantastic.
Slow camera angle of the chest as he's hanging over the bar. I like it.
Yep.
He does the body good. I So, I mean, obviously... Oliver is very distraught, and he's obviously been out for 6 weeks because he's been pretty depressed that his stepdad is gone, and Diggle's trying to get him back in action. So what do you guys think about this disappearance thing? I mean, do you think...
Let me go. Hold on.
I know.
I think it's whack. That's what I think. A little... Well, it's to be expected, but Moira obviously is the reason why he's gone. So for her to put on this whole act, the entire show, and act so depressed, and maybe she is. She's a little bit bummed because she was put in a position where she had to make a decision, and she had to put her hubby away. But still, at the same time, I think it was just excessive for her to be moping and that. I'm like, come on. And at the end of the show, she's going to sit there and be like, oh, have no fear, you know, where he's going to get home safely, and I'll do everything I can and keep looking for him. And you're like, shut up. You know where he
yeah.
is.
That's totally how I felt. She's a liar, and I was like, why are you depressed? You're the one that did that to him. You're making your kids feel bad about it. You know, you're making your kids take care of you, and it's 100% your bad.
I mean, 6 weeks. He's gone 6 weeks, and everybody's just kind of okay with it. It doesn't seem like there's a search party. It doesn't seem like there's anything. It's just kind of like, okay, you step in, take over so we can kind of calm down our board members and so our stocks don't plummet. But it's not really – I think everybody's got to kind of know that something's fishy is going on, right?
Well, they did assume that he's dead. Oliver. I just think of his body. Oliver does like to say he's probably dead.
Right.
So, I mean –
Yeah, but I guess what she's saying is, oh, we don't get to see an investigation. We just see that he's gone. Everyone's like, oh, dang, this sucks.
Yeah, he's kind of like, la-di-da, let's just see what happens. Yeah. It's just so weird.
Mourning his death before, you know, they even know if he's actually dead. It's just, I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all.
Because I'm sure they didn't give up that quickly when Oliver disappeared, you know?
Yeah.
But I love that, I was telling the girls before this, I love that Thea totally checks her mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not a big Thea fan, but I liked her in this episode. She's pretty good.
She stood up for herself. And it was good to see that.
Because we don't see her do much of anything aside from wine. So it was kind of nice. You know, it was kind of nice to see her step it up a little bit and kind of take charge and you know, kind of have enough. It's like, okay, I'm tired of this crap. I sit here and watch everybody kind of sulk and complain and all of that. And everybody forgets that I'm the kid here. You know,
do you guys think that I know that Moira is responsible for his disappearance, but do you guys think that she knows where he is and like exactly if do you think she knows that he'll be coming back safe, even though the bad guy said that he'll keep him safe? Do you guys think she feels assured?
I mean, I think there is always a possibility that something could happen.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, we have to remember, though, she was the same person that put her son away.
Right.
Her son, her husband, and then the sister of Laurel, which obviously the sister and the husband didn't make it back safely. So that was not a guarantee for her that they were all coming back.
Yeah, she stuck, you know, Oliver on that island. So she, you know, she's more worried about her and what her responsibilities are versus the you know, well-being of anyone else.
Right.
Including her own kids. So I don't think she's too worried about him. She's a little sad that she's lonely now, but I think that's about it.
Well, I think there's some guilt there knowing that she's not exactly the nicest person ever. But, you know, I don't feel bad for her at all.
Yeah. No.
I agree. I think, like, if she did feel bad, she would be out there, like, searching, or she'd be doing, like, you know what I mean? Like, she'd be doing more to try to, like, get him back safely.
Yeah, right. She's like, I might as well just take over.
Yeah, but at the same time, if she did do all that, she risks herself being caught for being the one responsible for what had happened.
That's true.
That's why she does kind of have to lay low and just play the role of just the
depressed.
I guess maybe she is a little distraught because she is lonely, but she is taking over
Oh, you poor rich lady.
I know. I'm trying to sympathize, but no, it's not working.
You know, she seemed more sad this time around with Walter, and I think she knows where he is, by the way. But I think she seemed a little more sad than the first half of the season when Walter actually left her, and she, you know, and she was, I don't know. I think she just seemed a little more sad, but knowing that he is somewhere safe, you know?
But do you think that's sadness or do you think it's guilt? Because at least before he left on his own terms, this time around she's responsible for him leaving and she doesn't know what's being done to him
now.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I would feel like a piece of poop.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's a little bit of fear. I mean, when he left on his own, he was kind of away and he wasn't around these dangerous people. You know, he kind of took off on his own and went wherever he went. And that's a little, I mean, at least if I was in her shoes, I would feel a little bit more assured that he was off on his own, throwing a tantrum, doing whatever. But at least he was safe in his own well-being and not trapped with these evil people when she knows the extremes that they go to and what they could do to him.
Yeah,
so I think it's a little bit of fear mixed in with all of those other emotions. Like fear for him because no matter what they say, I mean, these are some pretty scary people.
Right.
Yeah, they're scary.
Well, speaking of fear, though, let's talk about Oliver's fear because obviously there's something inside of him that's not the same because he's just kicking back a lot this episode.
Yeah. Well, he's distraught. He lost his stepfather and... You know,
I don't really think that has anything to do with it,
though.
What
else do you think would bother him, obviously?
I think it's just his encounter with the other archer, I think, is really what kind of broke his confidence, is because it was finally somebody that kind of literally put him on his butt and, you know, really kind of gave, you know, they went toe-to-toe, and he lost,
but what
much.
A wuss to chicken out after that, because we can't have our archer... back down for 6 weeks and go into hiding after one
big
event.
You got to think when we first came and he came back from the island and he had that book and he was kicking ass all over the place, he was invincible.
Right.
And it's just like any kid that thinks that they're a superhero and then they jump off the roof and break an ankle, all of a sudden they're not going to be climbing trees anymore.
You know,
I think it's really that kind of mentality that he thought he was invincible, he thought he was tougher and bigger than he was, and he didn't realize that coming up against someone that was, you know, at his level and a little bit more so was really going to break him that much. You know, it'd scare him.
Well, it makes him more human is
right,
what it does.
Sure.
And he tried to tell Diggle that it wasn't necessarily that, but he had something to live for now, and having to look at his killer face to face and made him realize that he didn't want to, he made it seem like risk his life so much because if he did, it would hurt his family if something happened to him, which I think you called it right, Kelly. I don't think it was that at all. I think that was just a cop out.
I mean, it could be a little bit of that, but I really don't think so. I think it's more that, okay, I really do bleed. Shit. I really think it's kind of that he, you know, really has to take a step back and he's just not, you know, he's breakable.
Right.
And he really, you know, felt better. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they touched on that theme throughout the episode, you know, that fear and our feelings are what control us. And I think in this instance, like you said, he's a little bit traumatized by his encounter with the other archer. And now he's afraid to just even get back in the groove of he can't even shoot his arrow at the beginning of the episode.
Right. Well, because he went through all the torture on the island. He got beat, you know, literally like to a pulp, and he came out of it. So he was this big, tough, big and strong. And then he just got beat back down.
Right.
So I think he's going back to that scared kid that was on the island. Is, I think, what he was kind of fighting with. And that's why I think we kept seeing those flashbacks.
Well,
back to his first fight there.
Let's talk about the island. But before we do, just a reminder, folks, please go to iTunes and rate and comment. Tell a friend. It only takes a minute, even less, 30 seconds. Go to YouTube, rate and comment. And we'd love to keep the conversation going. So, yeah.
Yes. Thank you to all that have already, you know, left comments and rated us and been downloading. You know, it's free. And we've been, you know, we were in the top 10 over here at AfterBuzz, which we really appreciate. So let's keep it going. We want to be number one again. So please tell all your friends.
Yay.
And if you don't, and, you know, agree with something that we're saying, leave a comment. Let us know.
Yeah. Just leave a comment for Kelly. Don't leave it for the message.
I want to get into it. Let's debate this. Tell me what you think. Am I just being too hard on Oliver? I'm sorry. He was kind of a sissy.
You know, right. I think that Oliver is very human, and that's what I like about him, too. Though.
No, I do, too. I think it's very endearing to see that, and I think watching his struggle, because we didn't really see a lot of that. We saw flashbacks of it. We saw him being, like, really terrified and scared and more of, like, a bratty rich kid than we really got to see an emotional kind of struggle, which I think we saw a lot in this episode, which was it was nice to see. I mean, I like to see. I just want to hug him and tell him it's going to be okay.
I just want to hug him, period.
Definitely cute.
So the flashbacks of the island, we had very small snippets, and he got into battle, and he, you know, got hit.
Yeah, I mean, he almost drowned, you know, rolling down a hill. But then we see toward the end that, you know, he bounced back because he's wearing the outfit of the person that was attacking him.
Right.
Which now, was that, and I could be wrong, but was that the Deathstroke that was?
I don't think so. I think it's just one of his people.
Yeah, I think it was one of his other people.
But at the same time, this is, I think, going to be a big turning point for him on the island. Because obviously now he can run around undercover, learn maybe some of their secrets, maybe let his friend out.
Exactly. Keys.
Exactly.
Yeah, he found keys in the pocket and a map, so he knows where they are.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a turning point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, random fun fact for you guys, because we're talking about the island. Did you guys know that Steven, he actually wanted to be on Survivor, and a year and a half ago, he met up with the casting director and everything, they were ready to go, but then he couldn't be on the show because he's Canadian.
What? Really?
He's like, I'm still bitter, but that's okay, because now I live on a fictional island. And I can't.
Well, I mean, he has his show.
I would take that one over Survivor.
I mean, you get to play a superhero. That's pretty awesome.
Right. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay, back to our regular schedule program.
More of Steven.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay, right? So what about this whole battle going on? Okay. I have loved this show since it started. Every episode has been, like, you know, crazy action-packed, lots of things going on. I feel like I was a little shorted in this episode. I don't know if you guys agree. I just felt like it was more emotional, which is okay. I definitely want to see development of the characters, and I think we got to see a lot of that this time, especially the interaction with, you know, with the Green Arrow and Laurel going to him for help, and, you know, which we can get into in a second, but overall, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that because we had a month hiatus of the show, they had to kind of ease their way back in. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to reestablish, you know, and give us a memory of, okay, so Walter's gone. Mm-hmm. Laurel and her dad have some kind of funk. Clearly, we see that he's, you know.
Selling her out.
Yeah, selling her out. And then Tommy's still in love with Laurel. And then there's something going on with Oliver and Laurel. And they're just kind of like recapping everything. Mm-hmm. Like, in essence, like, the Fireman thing, sure, that's a problem, but it wasn't like, oh my goodness, right?
I was disappointed because I thought we were going to see a little bit more of the Firefly, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah.
It was kind of like,
I have to kind of sort of disagree with you. I like the more emotional thing. It was nice, like, after a month of not, you know what I mean? Like, just to have, like, that, like you said, like, refreshing your memory and kind of just, like, seeing all the stories and all the characters together and the different, like, storylines with each. I liked it. It was a nice, refreshing break.
But yeah. I guess the episode before we went on the mid-season break was just so good and so up here.
Yeah.
That to start it off when you're, like, kind of, you know, solemn and quiet and just... I guess the firefighter theme was really kind of the secondary theme to the real story of the episode, which was fear and remorse and getting you to feel for Oliver's character in this instance.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's a really good point. Like, usually the action and the danger is the primary point, and in this case, it was secondary.
Right.
Yeah.
So. That's okay. It gives the show balance.
No, it definitely does. It does. It was, you know... Whatever, I like to see that, you know. It's a superhero show.
Yeah,
I want to see more superheroes.
You want to see more arrows getting shot? You know, cool.
Yeah. But no, but I did like it. And I liked that, you know, Laurel put, you know, aside her high and mighty kind of attitude and actually went to him for help, listened to her friend, you know, because we find out that her friend lost her brother in one of these fires. And, you know, it's pretty traumatic. And she first, you know, of course, has to be the know-it-all and remember what I did and you don't want to do the same thing. And but I like that she was able to kind of stop for a second, put her feelings aside and actually take it serious, which I thought was good.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first episode they actually talk about Arrow in a positive way. Even on the news, they're telling they're saying, oh, he's a hero. He's not a vigilante anymore.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time we're actually hearing them give positive reviews of what he's doing in the city. So. Yeah.
Well, they also made a statement at the beginning of the show, too, as well, saying that since the vigilante had arisen, the crime went down 16%. Mm-hmm. But since he's disappeared, they're kind of wondering, like, they're correlating the two, that he's actually the reason why crime rates went down.
And now they're missing him, and it's kind of one of those things, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yes.
And I think is... you know, kind of one of the lessons that the city is learning, that he's not all that bad.
And
except for the dang police detective. He just won't let it go.
No. Right.
I do like this guy. Oh, no, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I feel like we're starting to see, if we didn't see in episodes in the past, this attraction that Laurel is starting to have for the Arrow. And that, as it is, I don't feel like she ever had true feelings for Tommy. I mean, they started off as sleep buddies.
Yeah.
Right. And then he's the one who had feelings for her, and she just kind of went with it. And I feel like some of it was a little bit, now that Oliver is back, not that she's consciously trying to get revenge on him, but look at me, I'm with somebody else, you were sleeping with my sister, how does it feel?
Right, I think he's more of a space filler than anything.
Yeah, I mean, when she was sitting there talking to Oliver about, hey, I am an all or nothing kind of girl, you know, it's like black or white, I was like, BS, you are sitting there tooting your own horn, letting Tommy like ride the waves. I don't
yeah,
know.
I think
she's not my favorite character right now.
Well, I think she just wants somebody to keep her mind off of pining over Oliver, you know, or falling in love with the, you know, this Arrow, you know, vigilante person that she doesn't really know. But I absolutely don't think she's in love with Tommy.
Well, who wouldn't like a guy in a hood?
You know.
But yeah, so like the secondary story, the fireman, there's apparently a guy in disguise of a fireman, and instead of helping fellow firemen, he goes off and kills them.
I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I understand that he was wanting revenge on the chief for leaving... Was it a chief? He was a chief, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, for leaving him in the building, instead of going in and being brave and saving people, he gets burned alive.
Yeah.
And now he's out for every other firefighter?
I thought that was weird, too. I guess maybe they want to make it a bigger deal to bring Arrow back, to give him a reason to be like, this is a big deal. I gotta get my groove on, you know?
Yeah. Well, the way that he explained it was, he had asked the chief to send everybody back in. He said they could save the building. He kept everyone out, just left him in, so it was like he felt that he was abandoned by the entire team. But it was the chief that made them all stay back, so he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna take away your whole team so you can see how I felt. I was abandoned by this team, and now so are you gonna be, and you get to watch them all die. And like, that's the way that I took it to be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Great explanation. For anyone else at home that missed it like that.
It's not good to get revenge like that, people. Everyone does not have to die.
Revenge is
never okay.
Yes.
It's never okay. But it's really sad. I mean, this person felt, you know, alone. He, you know, he talks about it, he was a John Doe because all these people were so badly burned. They were unrecognizable. He woke up in a hospital completely by himself. No, everybody thought he was dead. Nobody went looking for him. How awful does that, you know, who would want to live after going through something like that? It's hard, definitely hard to bounce back from that. I don't know if necessarily going and setting other people on fire is the good way to go.
I don't think that's the way to go.
But
You know. Speaking of walking into fire and all that good stuff, what you guys feel about the end, how he ended his life? Oliver's talking about, you're not afraid to die, you're afraid to live. Let me help you.
Yeah.
And he turns around and goes and walks into a fire.
That just falls down.
He just gave up.
I saw that and I was like, why is Oliver not chasing him or stopping him? He just watched him walk into the fire.
Well, because it's like you can't, it's kind of one of those
things. You could have held his hand.
Well, you can only lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I think it's just kind of one of those things.
Well, wouldn't you want me to be like, hold up.
I'm just trying to burn, girl. If you're ready to go, there's not so much, nothing that I can do. I can only do so much to save you.
Hold on. This is my answer. I would have shot him in the foot with an arrow, so that way he couldn't go walking into the fire. And then I would have carried
him. So then he could just, like, fall over.
Spoken like a superhero. Yeah.
He would have eventually, he would have either hurt more people or he would have hurt himself. It's kind of one of those things, what are you going to do? If somebody is determined to just let it go, I mean,
there's only so much you can do.
You know, we all have our moments of insanity, and then the fireman had that moment where he's like,
he had like about six moments. He killed six people. Well. You know what I mean? Like, it's already like, okay. But I just really think that's what it was. I mean, there's only so much you can do. There's only so many times you can try to help somebody. If they don't want it, they just don't want it. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's true.
You know?
I had hope for him.
Poor guy.
Good makeup effects, though. I will say that.
Crazy. I was kind of like grossed out.
Honestly, if I didn't think it was bad enough.
You're right.
But considering the story that they was going along with this, I didn't think it was bad enough. I thought that, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of like
a little bit worse. Yeah,
I was kind of trying to do one of these. I'm like, is he cute? Is he not?
Because he's kind of cute.
I feel like he could have been cute.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like somebody would have recognized him.
Right.
I don't think he was. I was a little disappointed in that, because if everybody was. They were supposed to be unrecognizable. Nobody knew who he was. I don't think it was bad enough. They could have taken it one step further. I just feel like this whole... I'm sorry. I just feel like this whole episode was a little kind of half-assed. I don't know.
Because you want that nitty-gritty action.
A little bit, but I just feel like it was kind of lazy. Like, it could have been a little bit more.
I just think they had to ease us back in.
Yeah.
That's probably the main reason.
I have high expectations.
Alicona, I think you were mentioning when we were watching it that you thought it was kind of anticlimactic that he comes back and he reveals himself, just takes his face, I mean, his helmet off, and he's like, hey, I'm the fireman. We're like, oh.
That's what I'm saying. It was all kind of lazy. Just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what did you think, Anne?
Well, they unknowingly, you know, planned this party, not knowing that he was just going to show up, you know. So, like my husband was saying while we were watching it, you know, what was the point of them chasing him, having the calls, and, you know, investigating with the chief when he was just going to show up to the party as a guest? So,
Just all this hunting down for absolutely nothing. Yeah. He just turned himself in, basically.
Yeah, he's like, I'm ready to go. Let me put some oil on you.
How did nobody foresee that, though? How was no one prepared for that? Wouldn't that be...
How would you be prepared for that?
Well, but you know what? But they didn't realize that the motive behind what he was doing was specifically towards that chief. And if they would have known that, knowing that the chief was going to be there at that benefit, then they could have called it from the get-go.
But firefighter was going to be at that benefit. This guy's killing firefighters. How did they not take precautions to think that was a possibility at all?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? True. That's just detective work.
Maybe they're just like super excited about this fundraiser, right?
But I mean, to have a little bit extra security. I mean, how did nobody notice this full uniform, helmet, scary guy walking in to where, you know, he's kind of like Darth Vader when he's walking around. How did nobody know
that? The lady was like, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you do.
By the way,
I just want to say that, you know, at the club or whatever, they're talking about it being so crowded. I'm looking at it like, if this is a crowded club in Canada, I don't know.
You need to come to
LA. I don't want to party there. Vegas.
So, good thing, because it wasn't a fire hazard. But
how did it go from being an utter, like, warehouse,
and then
all of a sudden, this was, like, the next day, it was a full-fledged, like, party going on, you know, complete with decorations and everything.
And I love how at the end, the sister was even saying, like, he was like, oh, it was just under construction anyway, so now it's just under construction longer.
Yeah.
But, like, if it was under construction, you had a lot of people in there for being, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Party decorations and everything.
Yeah. But things happen fast over there in Sterling City. They get it together quickly when they want to have fundraisers. They get, you
get
know,
that right
things happen
order.
Fast. They couldn't get the contractor to do any work to make this a club, but dang it, it was going to be a fundraiser in 2 days.
Yeah.
And burn to the ground.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess this whole fire thing was very important to bring Oliver back into action.
Mm-hmm.
But we know, we see here Oliver's growing back into the Arrow with a new human attitude.
Thanks to Diggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks to Diggle. I mean, God bless Diggle. He's awesome. He's one of my favorite characters. So what do you guys think about, like, looking at Oliver, hotness aside, and his confidence, like, from being degraded to growing in this episode?
Like I said before, I enjoyed seeing that, and I think that is what the episode was about. So maybe that's why the rest of the story was not so action-packed, because we did need to see him fall to his knees and then get back up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I personally think. I mean, it sucked watching him, but at the same time, yeah. You knew eventually he was going to come back, and I love that Diggle just kept digging into him and, you know, pushing all his mm-hmm. buttons. And at mm-hmm. first, he was like, meh. You know, and it took him, ironically, though, it did take him saying something about, you're just going to let Laurel go off onto her own, just give her some clues mm-hmm. and let her go off and try to fight some firefighter that's been killing men.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got an article here that was on TVGuide.com today that was with executive producer Mark Guggenheim, and he was talking about this in his episode, and, you know, about Oliver and the struggles that he's going to go through in tonight's episode. And he basically, you know, talked about what we were talking about earlier, that it's about his fear and that he's never mm-hmm. gone up against anyone that's beaten him before, especially not that badly. So it's really kind of shaken him down. And, you know, he's going to lean on Diggle while, you know, we're going to start to see Malcolm's motives for being the Dark Archer are going to slowly be revealed in the next few episodes. And they're going to start laying the foundation for his motivation for starting that and for, you know, getting rid of yeah. Walter and all that stuff. So we're going to see a lot more stuff be revealed. So I guess this was kind of a transitionary episode,
right.
just, you know, to exactly. kind of, you know, see the growth and the struggle and to see what, you know, for set it up for what's to come.
I mean, I get chills every time Oliver says Tommy Merlin.
If he only knew.
Right.
If he only knew.
Yeah.
It was good to see the struggle kind of in, like, because I feel like he's going to bounce back even more, like, stronger and harder next time. And so I liked, I mean, no one's superhuman, so I guess, like, it was cool to see that, like, little struggle, and I feel like he's going to come back stronger than ever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that was the reason why they chose those island snippets, is because yeah. they want to draw a parallel of this pivotal moment. Like, Oliver will probably come back even stronger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's going to have to.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, in order to be able to handle what, you know, what is going to come, because that was, he only got a taste of what the Dark Archer has to, you know, kind of throw at him. So mm-hmm. he's going to have to step it up a couple notches in order to be able to handle, you know, especially if we're going to see Deathstroke coming up soon and all of these other villains that are going to come into play. So
I still want to see Laurel turn into Dinah, because right now I don't really like her.
Hold on. Who's turning into the canary?
That's
her. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's my thought.
Yeah. And I think they're going to drag it out a little. I think we're going to see more of a relationship between Laurel and the Green Arrow before it even gets there.
I don't think he'll get there till maybe next season, or it might be the season finale. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Maybe we'll start to see a little bit of that starting to come in the next, you know, toward the end of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I want to see what Thea is going to do. I want to see if she's going to be involved in any way, or if she's just going to be sulking around the house for the rest of the season.
I guess we can leave this to predictions, but you can go ahead.
Oh, because I was going to go there, too. It's all good.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just move to news and gossip.
Yes. Do it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
What you got? You got something?
Okay. So, well, I told you about... I already did, like, an interview with... the executive producer, but also, you know, Stephen, you know, Amell has been doing some interviews, and he's just, it's the same kind of thing. They're just really excited for the new season and for the development of the characters. And I don't,
know if I want to talk about it yet. So I'll wait for predictions to like put more stuff in. But for the most part, I think it's just going to be, we're going to see a lot more battles coming up with him. We're going to see a little bit more evil side to his mom, you know, her character, especially now that she's the CEO of the company and how that's going to affect everyone in the city.
I do have a news and gossip.
I do too.
I've been talking to you guys about it a lot. The Huntress coming back.
Yes.
Very upset about that.
I know.
Hopefully she's a better character this time around. All right, next.
My news and gossip, I don't know if you guys know, because not many people do know, that Stephen Amell actually got married to her name is Cassandra Jean from Cycle 5 of America's Next Top Model.
But
neither of them have publicly commented on their wedding, but apparently they got married in the Caribbean on a Christmas Day, and a friend officiated it for them, and it was really small, really intimate, really like, I guess like 50 people and less, but none of them have publicly talked about it, and there's no public photos, so this is according to PerezHilton.com. So thank you, Perez.
I had read that, but I thought somebody disputed that and said that that wasn't true. I guess we'll see.
They just like they said it today, so
that's going to be a crazy Christmas every year.
So if he's married, we wish you the best, and if not, we're happy.
Yeah, we need to, we need to check his ring finger next time we see him.
Well, he was at the Golden Globes and he wasn't wearing a ring, so
Did you check the ring? Did you check the ring?
I was watching interviews and stuff today, and that's where, you know, it was all just basically the same kind of stuff. I mean, there wasn't any really like really big news, but I like read that too, but it just I think somebody had come in and there was a lot of comments about disputing it, but I mean, we'll see.
I just think it's weird that neither of them have publicly talked about it, and none of their reps are like nobody's commenting on anything.
Well, good for them.
Good for them if it's true, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of nobody's business. No, to be honest with you, you know, it's an intimate thing. Yeah. But speaking of romance, I had also read, we know that McKenna is coming back, and he's going to reignite some sort of romance, but something that he had said in an interview is that they're going to connect, but over reasons that we don't think. What is that?
Right.
But, you know what I mean? Well, over the obvious, you're attracted to it. I don't know. But he says that the reason they do hook up is something that's going to surprise everybody. Wow. So it's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
News and gossip.
News. That's our news and gossip.
Well, you know, but...
go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
It's a prediction. It's a prediction.
Okay. Let's throw a prediction. We all got them.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Prediction.
All right, Alicona.
So let's talk about the Count, because we know he's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's bringing Vertigo, the drug, which originally in the comic, his name was Vertigo. And so we know that Thea's going to get herself involved, possibly face some jail time, of course.
She's in and out of trouble.
Yeah. But at the same time, you kind of see that one coming because of this episode. It lays down that foundation for her saying, be my mom. You don't tell me what to do. You could care less. I'm telling you what to do. So it's that rebel child that is going to run amok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I was going to say that I think that since Arrow does have a sidekick named Speedy in the comic books, be it the boy or the girl, I think that Thea and her boyfriend might become two Speedies. I think there's going to be two Speedies.
Yeah, we were talking about the Speedy thing in the last episode.
Yeah, we talked about that before, that it's going to, you know, hope maybe it can be kind of like a tag team.
I think it's going to be a tag team because Thea is not very strong. Oh, who knows?
I don't know. I would like to see her do something a little bit more than get in trouble. So exactly, I'd be excited if that's the case.
Well, the Speedy, the female Speedy in the comic book is kind of a slut. So, you know.
Well, I mean, she's already building that kind of like, you know, fast little reputation. So maybe, maybe it goes in line with that.
So politically correct. You just put it out there like that.
Kind of a little bit.
I don't know.
Well, you know, Thea's had her moment. She's hit on Tommy, and
but she's young and she's lost. And hopefully,
I've been young and lost, and I've not reached that point.
But she's a rich kid. She's bored. She's got everything she wants. You know, might as well go after something that's not so easy to get. I don't know. She needs a better challenge. I don't know.
Way to be the devil's advocate.
I'm trying. I don't know. I want to see Laurel and Tommy break up. Like, I'm over it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just over it. Like, that. I'm hoping that's going to happen soon. Like, I want him to stand on his own two feet, get his life together, and I'm interested to see what's going to happen with him and his dad, if he's going to kind of go to the dark side himself, or if he's going to
Now, do you guys think that potentially, we obviously know that Laurel is attracted to the Hood. Mm-hmm. She's eventually probably going to find out it's Oliver, but prior to that, do you think it's possible for them to have a romance without her really knowing who he is?
I think that's probably going to happen.
That was my prediction. I think that's what was going to happen. I feel like Laurel and Oliver will have this romance without her knowing before she finds out.
Yeah.
That's so dumb because all it is he's got paint across
his eyes.
It's not even a cross, it's just around the eyes.
He's just got makeup on.
Clark Kent, excuse me, with the glasses. Yeah, Superman. Really low is?
Yeah. It's so cheeseball, but it works.
I mean, because you don't want it to be anybody that you know. You want it to be like a fantasy.
Yeah. Like some superhero man is saving you, not somebody like.
Your ex.
Yeah. think about how guys complain how different we look with and without makeup on.
True. I mean, if you want to leave tall buildings and rescue me from burning buildings, I can overlook certain things, too. I can pretend. Like, we can role play. It's okay.
Role play. That's awesome.
Well, I'm really interested in seeing the Merlin arrow showdown.
Yes.
That's what I really want to see. And I hope that happens before the end of the season.
It has to, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, but I keep hearing a lot about what Seth Gable, is that his name? Am I pronouncing his last name properly?
Yeah.
Okay, he is supposed to be bringing a lot to the table as far as just his acting in general and what he brings to his character, the Count.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that his acting, maybe not necessarily his acting, but what he's bringing to the show is the best thus far the entire season.
Really? That's good stuff.
That's what reviews are saying.
Good.
And P.S., the CW ordered another episode of Arrow.
Oh, nice.
But they're adding on to the end of the season.
Oh, because it's 22, right?
Yes, but now it's 23.
It's 23 now. Nice.
Yeah. A lot of arrows.
Yes.
Well, my prediction is that we will not have a shortage of topless Oliver or topless. I mean, this whole episode, like, you can tell that they're purposely focusing on
his top body.
Diggle, too, you know, and just, I really hope, because I see with these other CW shows that they start to really play into the female audience with their shots and the camera angles. And I hope they don't do that with the show because I love the action and I want to see more action. Well, topless, fine, that's okay, but please, more action, more butt kicking.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the thing, though. They didn't have much action here, so they replaced it with lots of torso.
Going for the sex appeal versus the action in this episode. You know, which is okay. We're
Easing
okay with
in.
A little bit of it, but...
The men are all rolling their eyes right now.
I know.
Whatever, six pack.
I know. It's okay. You know, I want to see somebody literally... at the gym, do one of those bar things where they just up the bar.
Yeah,
I want to see that happen.
And you know, if Laurel's turning into the Black Canary, I really want to start seeing her do some fighting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or some crunches, something.
Something
active. Yeah.
Jogging. Something. Get into it.
I mean, already we know she's like the detective style person, but we need more.
I don't know.
I don't know that I'll buy into her being tough. She's just so frail to me right now.
Thank you.
They've really got to build it up for me to really buy into that. She can kick somebody's butt.
Wouldn't it be funny if they replaced her with like this like butch blonde? Yeah.
But that's why I think they're going to drag it out for so long. I mean, for a little while longer, because I think we're going to see the development of that. And I think it'll be a little bit of a slow process. At least that's kind of like
she's
the whispers.
She's take like some
hearing.
Taekwondo or something. Something needs to happen to cause her to like.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe she'll get robbed or something stupid and it'll cause her to be, you know.
Yeah.
On the defense.
Well, I think there may be a big
rift
with her dad. Her and her dad.
Yeah.
I think she's going to find out. I think she's going to realize, you know, what he's doing and how he's manipulating her. And I think it's going to cause a rift between them. And she's not going to have that kind of protection, which is going to kind of force her to get a little tougher and to look out more for herself and kind of lean on the arrow a little bit more. And maybe that's when we'll start to see the physicality
get
more
into it. That's probably why they had that happen. And But I don't think that her dad doesn't love her or anything. I think that's his only way to get Arrow down.
I think he's just way too obsessed with
really,
his
really, your daughter, talk about friggin' shady parents in Starling City.
I know, it's his only daughter, too.
Oliver's mom, and then now her dad is doing that to her.
I think it's kind of a CW kind of trend on their shows. It's like all the parents are shady on every show.
All this deception on the CW. I would not want
CW
parents.
To see the rifts between the parents. I swear I'm never having kids.
I want tons of kids. It's
so scary.
But I will not deceive them, I promise.
I don't know. It turns you into evil.
I'm on the CW, maybe.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway.
It's a scary place to be a parent over there in Sterling City. Sure. And a child. Because, you know, your parents, they toss you on islands. They put you in harm's way. I don't know.
But hey, like, then again, if I know how to shoot arrows and, you know, battle...
That's why I'm on AfterBuzz TV. It's safe over here.
It is safe over here.
I don't know.
So while you guys wait for the next week, we will be on AfterBuzzTV.com on different episodes and shows and all that good stuff. And so where can we find everybody?
Well, make sure to go to iTunes first, subscribe, download, rate, and comment, and, you know, join our conversation and let us know what you think about the show and what you thought about the episode tonight. And you can always tweet us at AfterBuzzTV, and you can tweet me at Kelly with an IE 079.
Go for it.
You can tweet me at Kaorius, and you can find me on White on Rice on Spreecast.com.
And then you can tweet me at Kiss My Passport, or find me on Facebook and Tumblr under Ali Conan Bradford.
You can tweet me at Annika underscore Michelle, A-N-N-I-K-A underscore M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E.
And you can tweet me at Ann Campia.
And don't forget the after blog for Arrow. That will be posted up tomorrow.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Well, thanks so much for hanging out, and we'll see you guys next week, hopefully, with a more action-packed
more
show.
More action.
For me.
More naked. For me.
Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.